Welcome to Bite Size Dental Marketing. Today I have Amal, CEO of Patient Prism. You and I have crossed threads so many times in dental marketing, going back to, 2016, 2017, we would pick up accounts with Tariq Ali and Nico Manshadi, the guys from that organization. And I know they brought you in and you did some great work with them. And it's such an honor to have you on. I mean, Patient Prism has evolved, and you guys were talking about AI before AI, came into our life, or to mainstream here in 2023, 2024. Tell me your origin story. Where have you been? What have you been doing?
I was an accountant and still am, CPA. I ran a CPA firm, managed the tax and advisory work for healthcare practices, dental practices. And, in the middle of my 30s, I kind of had a professional midlife crisis and said, man, what should I do with myself when I grow up? And I was good at accounting, but I really was even better at marketing. And so I started a marketing company, which is kind of new. Most people don't know that story. And I said I could help my clients get more customers. So I said I want to start a marketing company. Who should be my clients? And I said dentists sound like an exciting group of people, because some of my dentists were my closest friends. Mm-hmm, It was easy to call them like, hey, would you hire me to do your marketing? And so this was in 2010-11 when I started doing content marketing. SEO and all that stuff at the time, and I just learned it. I had a good partner that knew how to do ads and campaigns, and that was for fun. I had a lot of fun doing it. It's kind of unusual for an accountant to like marketing.
It sure is.
But I was one of them, and in that process, we realized that the phones were not being answered correctly. We were driving all these leads, but they were not getting converted. We were not seeing the increase in revenue. So one fine day, without any background of technology in my body, notwithstanding my DNA or my heritage, I had nothing in my bones about coding or any of that stuff. I didn't become a doctor, engineer, or a coder. I became an accountant. So I was kind of the black sheep until then. But I asked my co-founder at the time, hey, could we teach Alexa how to understand dentistry? And really figured this conversation out, because there's no way we could record and listen and all this. And we had an army of people listening to phone calls. Patient Prism was born out of that need to figure out why we're not scheduling patients. Simply, That's how we started.
No, I think it was a meeting or two ago that you and I were talking, and you made a comment that I've been chewing on since. And I don't disagree with it, for the record, but I want to hear your take. You said 99% of dental marketing sucks. And I started laughing. I don't disagree with you, but walk me through that comment, because you are at the epicenter, right? I mean, it all happens on the phone, right? Because who leads are nice, but dentistry still happens over the phone. Walk me through that journey of you.
Dentistry is definitely evolving. In the old world was basically referral-based marketing, and there was some interspersed campaigns that were going on with postcards and other things, right? And B2C, like direct to consumer, really has come about because of the consolidation in the space. And there's a lot of private equity players have come in and says, hey, we need to have a good direct to consumer strategy to attract patients of the right kind. Unfortunately, most of marketing has been in a product kind of a way. Oh, you need a website. You need social media.
You need SEO.
You need SEO. Yeah. And it's been jargon-driven marketing.
Yeah.
So everybody is jargon. We need SEO. And all this jargon eventually confuses the end user, where you just buy something based on likability. And, I used to say this all the time, likability and competence are often confused. Because you like someone. And so to tell you the truth, I think marketing is evolving. I think there's good players entering the dental marketing space. But they're few and far between, because a lot of them just grew up thinking about a product, a website, or just taught themselves ad campaigns and just were this one trick ideas about how marketing is done. Let's advertise. Let's stick stuff on the wall. Hope it sticks and it drives And a lot of times, some of them were successful despite being good because the dentist was well known. They had got a lot of referrals, and so most of the marketing that we've seen across the board has not been strategy driven. They've been very tactical. Let's do this, and that will happen. Let's do this, and instead of thinking about what type of patients do we want to see, where do we want to attract them from, how much do we want to spend per lead, how do we integrate the marketing into what the doctors want? That whole process has been so not strategic. It's so tactical. That's why most marketing has not worked in dentistry. In general speaking, I think the DSOs are doing a good job, but they are also struggling with trying to figure out how to really do performance marketing and how to drive the right leads at the right place at the right time at the right cost. And that evolution is coming, but it's only 1% of the market.
As someone who lives and breathes the industry every day, I agree with you very strongly in that the dentists get sold out of fear or out of, you know, the fear of missing out. You know, some random patient told me my website wasn't optimized. And like, first of all, even unpacking what that means is wildly difficult. But I do find the industry paradoxical in that what you just outlaid is a professional marketing approach that, you know, Procter & Gamble would do or GameStop would do to reach their client base, right?
Correct.
You know, Procter & Gamble had the Golden Mom when I was there. And, you know, the Golden Mom had three kids. She had a household income of north of $200,000. She lived in this kind of neighborhood. She volunteered her time. And all of their marketing was around acquiring that sole person. Now, if they picked up the random 28-year-old, that was great. But they were targeting this very specific client, right? The problem is what you just outlined takes time, energy, and money, because a dentist who's aspiring fee-for-service, who is already fee-for-service, is going to be different than someone who's, you know, just trying to fill their chair with any patient. And but at the same time, when you go in and you start talking to dentists about the journey you just talked about, they just say, well, I just want a website. It's similar to a patient going in and saying, I don't care about the x-ray and I don't care about my cone beam. I want a three-sided filling on this tooth. It's like, well, that's not going to be good for you. So how do you see those playing out with dentists who seem to come in knowing what they want?
Well, that's hard, right? We work mostly with groups and marketing VPs or CMOs coming to the table with the idea that they need to learn more. And if there is a dentist in mind that we're talking to, it's a doctor founder, let's say, of a small group, we have to really work on educating them on what the new world looks like. The new world is not the world where you started your practice and you were the name game in town and you had a great reputation and you got all these people sending referrals to you.
Not anymore.
The new world is you're competing, if you're a small group or a single dentist, you're competing against very large pockets, which are spending upwards of $10,000 a month in a market to drive new patients in. And now you're trying to compare that with your $400 a month website and maybe $1,000 for an implant campaign in Miami, which your ads are going to run out at 8:30 in the morning. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the things I do is educate them. And are you ready? Are you ready to invest in something that's going to deliver you 10, 20, 30x ROI? And that's a difficult concept in medicine or healthcare or dentistry. The ROI concept is difficult. And I try very hard to drive home that point. It's not about what it costs. Nothing is costly as long as there is an ROI associated with that.
That's right. And it is complex when you start talking about, you know, let's say a new patient. We know from our agency that we can expect under most circumstances, a new patient will cost about $100 to generate. And when you start saying you're going to, you know, that sounds wildly expensive to someone who's never thought of it in terms of acquisition. Yeah.
Yeah, it is true. And in some markets, even it's even more. In Miami, an implant patient is probably $300, right?
Yeah.
Depending where you are, what geography you are. But I really think it is up to us to educate these folks. If you want to really grow your business, you have to put the right patients in the chair. You have to understand what revenue triage is. You have to have the right mix. You have to have the right payer mix, but you have to have the right patient mix. And the right patient mix means the right mix of new versus existing patients, the right mix of patients who need more services versus maintenance services.
Right.
And the, just like the airlines think about how they optimize profits, you have to have the right fare codes and fare classes so that you can have a profitable plane. Just filling the plane with basic economy seats doesn't make you money. You have to fill them with the right seats, first class, business class, executive economy, and all that stuff. And dentistry also has to think about that. What patient is sitting in our chair at all times, and what revenue are we producing from them? Because we are in a provider-constrained environment, at least for the next 5 years. We're not going to be able to just hire hygienists and hire doctors and hire dental assistants. Turnover is high. And so in that provider-constrained environment, how do we optimize for revenue? And so in order to optimize for revenue, you have to have a great marketing strategy that brings the right leads into your offices. You convert them. You give them an appointment when they need it. And you deliver a phenomenal patient experience by optimizing the journey. That's a lot to pack in this little section.
That's a lot to pack in.
Mm-hmm. Right? But I think that's what I think some of the sophisticated larger groups are thinking about. I think there's going to be a group growth-minded dentists across the country who are also thinking like that. About 20% of them are thinking like, man, how do we educate our community, and how do we get marketing out in the community that first and foremost gets them to understand the importance of a dentistry, and then solves the problems that the patients may be having by creating contents, ads, social media, and everything else. Yeah. So really, it is a lot more complex and challenging than putting up a website and putting ads out there.
Putting some meta tags on a site, sure.
And very few thinkers out there. That's why my you know, it requires a lot of thinking and introspection and A/B testing. There's so much about it, and I have literally been appreciative of all the marketers that we have worked with that are truly thinkers, and they're contemplating, and they're looking and researching, really trying to get in the mind of the local consumer, of the local patient base that's out there. These are such good questions, and I'm in awe of marketers now that know how to drive that specific type of patients at the best cost, because it really puts your practice on autopilot in terms of growth.
You know, as you're talking, it reminds me of another question I have for you, and I'm going to lay out my understanding and my experience, and then I want to, if you disagree, I want to hear it. You know, 10 years ago, marketing really was in dentistry about just almost shotgunning out to a relevant population the name. Correct. You know, Legacy Dental, Dr. Heather Majors, wham, you know. Correct. Now it's significantly more nuanced because as we've evolved, the consumer journey and the consumer experience has evolved, so too have the practices from most of our practices anyway used to accept almost every PPO under the sun. Now they're beginning to segment out who they take and don't take in insurance. So from our standpoint, what that has changed in marketing is it took the front desk of old. They had to be tactically good. They had to answer the phone well. They had to talk about patients. But I will say it was more of an order taker role.
Yeah.
Because if they accepted the insurance, the barrier to join the practice was very low. Where today, I'm answering, I probably don't take your insurance, or I probably don't, you know, you may not have insurance. And now I'm in a true sales role. So we've seen this cultural shift almost of the front desk from these order takers to this very niche sales role. And that cultural shift is oftentimes misunderstood, or they slam the newest person on there who doesn't, you know, really try to get behind the question or whatever philosophy there is. How do you see that from Patient Prism's view? And do you agree or disagree with sort of my, you know, the experience that we've had there?
I think you may have seen some of my decks, because those are the exact terms I use. Healthcare has always been in the order-taking business, especially the front office, dentistry, all of healthcare. It was always a privilege. It's kind of unfortunate that it was a privilege for customers to have an appointment at their healthcare practitioner. It was a privilege, right? And for the longest time, it was a privilege. And slowly but surely over the last decade, as generations are expecting different things, Gen Zs are expecting completely different experience than what we expected when we called our doctor. We were like, oh my God, thank you, sir. Thank you very much. We called them sir. I mean, I don't know. At one point I did. And we had that whole level of gravitas associated with healthcare professionals. The new generation doesn't. They just want somebody to come in quickly. They want an appointment. They want in and out. They want to talk less. And they also want more. And this whole era of consumerism has really come into healthcare because of social media and all the things that are coming about. So because consumers are so knowledgeable and educated, at the time when we grew up, we had no idea about anything because there was no internet. But today, consumers are, you know, they know exactly. They got a problem on number 14, or they need a, and whatever that is, right? Whatever that might be. And so what's happening today is that we have to level up our receptionists from order takers to salespeople. And what that means is that we have to teach them the skills that earn patient trust, that give them the confidence that they have called the right place, that they are going to be taken care of. The doctor is amazing, good technology, amazing outcomes. It's going to be pain-free, pun intended. It's going to cost, it's not going to break their bank. All these things have to be done in a very quick manner while you're actively listening to the patient and everything else. So the consumer of today is well-educated. They want a good experience on the phone, in the office, and they're not going to take, any kind of, this mentality that they're a burden on the doctor. So I completely agree with you. We're not in the order taking business, and we have to all, that means we have to respect that position. We have to not call them by a furniture name, which is front desk people. They're not front desk, right? They are our first experience with the patient. So we have to pay them well, number one. We have to recruit them well. We have to nurture them, train them, and make them believe that we're here to facilitate their greatness. We are here to help them reach the next level of customer experience and journey so that they, whether they choose the career with the doctor or go somewhere else, they can proudly say that I am making an impact on improving patients' lives. And I'm doing that by earning their trust, getting the patients in the door, and giving them the gift of dentistry that changes their whole life. And that's the mindset we need in all of healthcare. And not, I don't have an appointment. Thank you, bye. This is 5,000. Thank you, bye. We don't need that anymore because that's not what our society wants from our healthcare practitioners.
As you continue to evolve, you know, your product and you're obviously collecting more data, training more AI models. What are the two or three takeaways that you wish dentists would really contemplate and understand about that patient journey that you're seeing across all these, you know, I'm sure millions of calls in a month, right?
Yeah. Well, the first thing they have to appreciate and understand is understand the patient journey. Where does it start and where does it end? Or it doesn't even end because in a general practice, there's a reappointment. So there is, you have to come back, right? And that whole journey has to be mapped. Okay, where does it start? Is it a brand new patient finds us through Google Ads? Or through SEO or referrals. Okay, that's how they find us. And then they what do they do next? They call, they fill out a form, they do online booking. Then you have to make sure that part of the process is optimized. Then they come in, the welcome visit. And every aspect, you know, one of the things Clear Choice did when they started out this, and Clear Choice has a lot of good cases. One day Harvard will have Clear Choice inside of them of how to design a patient journey. And so what they did was they looked at every touch point patient. Ads were optimized, and they looked at it, and they had KPIs associated with each of the touch points. And then they said, we're going to assign one person to own that KPI. If it's marketing, then it's your marketing agency, marketing VP, director. If it's the phone, the manager there, the people answering the phone, the receptionist who gave the journey of the tour of the office, the hygienist, the assistant. And there was a KPI associated with each aspect. Anybody who patient touched, there was a KPI, and they had ownership of that. And their goal was to exceed whatever the budget, whatever the goal of that KPI was. Now it could be cost per lead on the marketing side. It could be case acceptance for the treatment and coordinator side. And as they thought about that whole journey, what they figured out was, it was simple. Figure out what's important, whatever that's important in that aspect of the journey. Measure that, assign somebody to own that, and hold them accountable for that. And then they did that every single time. And then all of a sudden, they optimized the whole journey. And they had statistics like, for example, that their case acceptance rates were 20% higher when the patient got a tour of the office before the visit versus after. I mean, there was all these different KPIs that they generated that truly elevated, you know, because over there, you're trying to sell a $50,000 treatment.
That's right.
It's not a $1,200 treatment. So you had to make sure every part of that. And that's what I would recommend to doctors today. Whether you're a single office, whether you're a DSO, understand how patient moves through the journey from start to finish and then back again. And then look at and assign a number, a KPI associated with that part of the journey, and assign an accountable champion for that to take care of their KPI. If you do that, I think you may not have to spend more money to drive more revenue. You will just have to figure out, okay, well, I think my case acceptance is broken. Well, what do we do with that? Whether we train the three TCs, we maybe adopt new AI like Pearl or one of those companies, and we get them going. We need more Invisalign starts. Well, what do? Let's make sure we scan. We need to do more scans, and that's a KPI. We need to do more scans from hygienists. Well, we're doing all these scans, but we're still not getting more acceptance from that. Well, maybe we need to train the hygienist how to have conversations about straightening their teeth. That approach, what it goes into the depth of understanding the patient experience and figure and optimizing those little touch points, in my view, is the secret to success. Not implementing AI or implementing SEO or SEF. That's great. Yes, you need all that. But at the end of the day, we've got to optimize the journey. And technology is great today to do all that. But by itself, my product doesn't do any good if I can get it incorporated. And that's the second part, I would say, is the most important aspect of it. Beyond even AI, beyond technology, is change management. How do you get people to do things that are in the best interest of the patient? First and foremost, interest of the patient health. When you drive, and then how do you really get everybody to do things sometimes differently? Sometimes, and a hygienist have to think differently today than they thought before.
Right.
Doctors, assistants, and any time you're trying to implement anything, there is no way a cone beam or a CEREC machine or a laser is going to drive your revenue. It's going to be how you incorporate that in your workflow that elevates the patient again. And those are two things, right? Map the journey, optimize the journey, put KPIs, put accountable champions, and then focus on the change management aspect of it, because it doesn't sound good when the doctor goes and buys the CEREC machine and then lets the people handle that, because there's too much going on in these dental offices. And you tack on one more thing for them to do in the office, they're just not going to do it. So that those two things, I would say, I think probably our keys to success now is those, you know, the journey and the change management.
That's so well said. It's eerie almost how that is in alignment with our philosophy of our favorite accounts. As a marketer, and I'm being selfish here. I'm going to answer a selfish question. Is when we come in after they've had coaching for 6 to 8 to 12 months, and they finally come to the realization that the team's not going to change if the doctor doesn't change, that they just can't mandate, you know, laws without taking accountability. And when we come in, suddenly, you know, it feels like a refreshing, fun account to work on, because they've come to that realization. But very well said, Amal. I mean, you know, you certainly see how from the CPA to the marketer to, you know, the patient prism, that you guys have evolved, and the thinking and the thought leadership that you have in the industry is so well known. Thanks so much for taking the time to jump on the podcast, and I'm excited to see what you guys are up to next.
Eric, thank you for having me on your podcast. It's been wonderful working with you and your team, as you are helping many of our clients grow their businesses in a very predictable way, a scientific way. If you guys want to talk about growth, in kind of looking at growth from the lens of marketing, sales, and operations, we built Patient Prism platform completely brand new to drive that understanding of marketing, sales, and operations. go to our website, www.patientprism.com. And we're happy to have a growth consultation with you. And that growth consultation is going to mean that let's understand where you are, where you want to go, and let's see who you have on your team, because this is going to be a team sport. And let's figure out together a strategy that's going to drive very predictable same-store growth into your organization for 2024 and beyond.
Thank you very much, Mal. We'll put a link to the site and your bio and all that. But thank you very much, Mal. That was your Bite of Dental Marketing.